Welcome back to Positive Choice Talk Radio. This is Barb Schwarz, and it's great to welcome all of you that are listening. Just very excited for our hour together, and this is the segment called Staging Life with Barb. You know, the topics that I like to cover during our hour together have to do with staging life, and that includes staging our health and staging exercise and staging houses. Because as I taught a class this last Thursday and Friday with the Seattle King County Association of Realtors, we were talking about decluttering rooms, and then it kind of evolved into decluttering our life. That had to do with emotions and extra responsibilities that maybe we don't have to have. And so I'd like to welcome all of you and introduce my co-host, Kevin McDonald. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad to see you. I love what you have on. Everybody, it's kind of a brown checked sweater with variations of brown. You are staged.
I'm just so together today.
Yes, you are. You are staged. And what a beautiful day out. Driving over, I thought, wow, God staged this day really well. When you look at the beautiful mountains and the beautiful sunshine, it's hard to not feel good on a day like this.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great day.
It is. I want to start by sharing with everybody, I always like to begin with a poem, and this one touched me too, and that is that this is the day to treat life as a great adventure, because it is, and each moment of it as a satisfying, rewarding experience. And you know, sometimes that's really hard because the experiences may not be going our way. And yet, how do we turn those around so that they do become rewarding experiences? So the problems we can start to look as challenges instead of problems, and then opportunities. And that's really hard when we're in it. But we'll visit a little bit about that today. And it continues, since I have but one chance at today, I want to live it fully, and I want to live it well. And that would be well. And I think our attitude and choices that we make, like Positive Choice Talk Radio. And I hope that I will handle myself in such a manner that when today becomes yesterday, and then my memories will be pleasant, and when tomorrow becomes today, my regrets will be few.
And what are you reading that from, by the way?
I'm reading that from my book, If You Wear Out Your Body, Where Will You Live? Because that is what our house is on the planet, our body.
Who's the author on that, by the way?
Well, her name happens to be, the initials are BS. I just couldn't resist. Her name is Barb Schwarz.
And where can you, because you've quoted from this book before. It's a great book. Where can you buy that book?
Thank you. You can go to any bookstore and ask for Barb Schwarz, If You Wear Out Your Body, Where Will You Live? And it's a little handbook.
And the initials may be BS, but the content is not, right?
Right. We'll put the A in, which is my middle initial, BAS. A for absolute and adventure and all those great words that start with A, like eat an apple a day. Because the book is divided into three parts, body, mind, and soul. And it's like a little guidebook to carry with you when life has a way of bringing some adventures that we're not so sure about, to just open it up and read something that'll get you right back on track. And I've even been known to do that at a stoplight, just for 2 seconds to just, you know, have something on the dash of my car to look at. It's a good idea, don't you think? Because it keeps us on track. I was listening to the last hour, and without getting into all of that, I had some thoughts to share, and that is that everything is a choice, and so it can be negative or positive. And how we choose to listen to our intuition. And intuition, to me, is such a gift from God. I just view it as my sixth sense. I call it my inner knower sometimes. It's the link. And I find in my own life, Kevin, that if I listen to my head and not the intuition, what happens is I run into cement walls. It's just like it doesn't work. So listening to that inner knower in you talk to you is such a wonderful gift that we've all been given. And I want to give out our phone number because I'd like to talk with you. So that's 1-866, you know, it's toll free, 866. Then it's 439. And the last letters are PCTR, which is Positive Talk, Choice Talk Radio.
But those of us that are alphanumeric,
I know, it's hard
challenged.
For some of us like me.
Yes, I never can find the letters on the dial. So.
We used to do that in Bellevue in the old days, because I'll show my age. We used to use the letters, not the numbers. I remember that, dialing my mom's number.
And that was a rotary dialer, too. It wasn't a push button.
Probably was. Yeah. And we looked at the letters. It was like Sherwood, S-H, Those were the, somebody listening will remember that as a child or something. Those were the letters that we used. So let me repeat that number. It's 866, and then it's 439, and then for you and me, it's 7287.
I get that one a lot better.
7287, which is Positive Choice Talk Radio. So, Gunda, if you're listening, I am waiting for your phone call, because we had a wonderful time with you the other day and talked about you phoning in. So I hope you can do that. Meanwhile, I do want everyone to know that I have a special guest coming on at the bottom of the hour, which would be 2:30, and that is Darlene Royce with Coldwell Banker. And I have worked with Darlene before in my classes. She attended the course that I give, the Accredited Staging Professional course, about a year ago, and then she came back last Thursday and Friday when I was at the Seattle King County Association of Realtors in Kirkland, which is a fabulous organization. And so she was talking about how she uses the idea of staging that she learned in the class. And I was really impressed with what she's done and how she really follows through. Because as I'll share with people, you know, they used to teach us that knowledge is power. And I kind of like to amend that. In fact, I do like to amend that, that knowledge gives you strength, but the implementation gives you the power.
If, write that down. That's very good.
Yes, because if you don't do anything with it, what good is it? So to me, it's almost worse to know and not to do than not to know. Because if you don't know, you don't know that you don't know that you don't know that you didn't know. However, once you know, then not to make use of it. And I think that's where all of us every single day have a new chance to implement what we know and to retrain our minds and listen to our intuitions to, you know, make positive choices. What do you think about that, Kevin?
Oh, I agree 100%, because choices, we can make all kinds of choices in our life. And every day we have the opportunity. It's a beautiful thing about every day.
Yeah.
Is that we have the opportunity to have a whole brand new set of choices.
Right.
And what you chose to do yesterday is not necessarily what you need to choose today.
Right, because in that moment with our kids or our spouse or significant other or friends, maybe we responded one way yesterday. I did that with my husband the other day. And then today I stopped and I thought, you know, I'm not going to respond that way today.
So let me ask you, because I consider you a very spiritual person.
Thank you.
And somebody who really tries to live every moment of every day to her highest and best good.
That's the goal, and that's what I work on. And I do like the word spiritual. Because I believe we are all spiritual beings, and I think that we awaken through our life as we choose to, and some of us don't choose to take that step till we're almost ready to leave, you know, even
right.
on our deathbed. Others are really, it's finally you get tired of fighting upstream, and I love that. I decided in the bathroom today that I would sing, so I hope that that's really okay, because I was coming into the building, getting ready to come up, and I move in the spirit, so Eric, are you ready? So, no, we don't need the I'm teasing him, but, you know, I love Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer, maybe someday I'll have him on as a guest, who's written a lot of wonderful books, and one of the things that he has shared, and I'm quoting him, although all of us already know this, it's just so great to think about it. It goes like this. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Wow, you sing pretty good.
Thank you. I was supposed to be Barbara Streisand.
Oh, you did very, very
but
well.
But I ended up Barb Schwarz. Another BS, you know.
No, but I would like to have Barb Schwarz here.
So we're going to take that little poem, that little rhyme, that little nursery rhyme, and we're going to turn it into something that I sing it in traffic, actually. I sing it inside when I know that there's something coming up with my husband that we may have a challenge in the moment. And I think about that, row, row, row your boat. As silly as that sounds, and we all know that, there's a real message that's hidden inside of that. And so we're going to take
especially if you play it backwards.
Yeah. Yes, this is true. I'll work on that.
Well, now
I'll work on that. I could do that. I know I could do that.
In there.
Yes. Well,
I'm going to
turn it around a little bit when we come back.
You're such a spiritual person, and I highly regard what you have to say. However, I was listening to one of the other shows, it was probably mine at a different time, and when a lot of spiritual people will say, you know, we just need to let it go, and we need to but what do you do when somebody has offended you, at a personally on purpose offended you at your core level, how do you let that go without punching him in the nose first?
Well, I can answer you really quickly. First of all, we take the poem, row, row, row your boat, and we turn it around and it does not say thrash, thrash, thrash around in your big ship.
Row, row, row your boat, I'm going to hit you over the head with a paddle. That's what
it says. Gently down the stream. It doesn't say horribly, horribly fighting upstream.
Right.
And it says life is but a dream, not life is but a nightmare. So right. It's really going with the flow. Now, to answer your question, I really, really, really come from this place, which doesn't mean that I don't forget it or goof, is that no one can offend you without you giving them permission.
That's true.
That's absolutely true. So when we say that, well, I was really offended to my core level, that's because you allowed that to take place. You gave them permission. And in a way, what we do is we give our energy away. We give our power away by doing that. Now, if you really want to go for it and just suck it up and just roll in it. I've done that many times. And then other times I say, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. And, you know, this is a good example because on Whidbey Island, sold real estate with my dear partner that I interviewed last week, Helica Johnson. And I'm not selling there right now, although I know a lot of great agents on Whidbey, and your mom lives on Whidbey. We have a lot of listeners there. And I'm getting ready to bring guests from Whidbey sometimes, and maybe some advertisers and sponsors, that because it's a great island along with the rest of the islands and the entire greater Northwest. And what happens is that I would sit down with my sellers, and many times you'll see an offer presented by a buyer and their agent. And so the seller may look at it and they'll go, well, this is insulting. I would never take this. And I've heard that hundreds and hundreds of times because I've listed, sold, and staged over 1,600 homes in my career, which is a lot of real estate. And so I developed the pattern then that the practice really, that before the offer is presented, not knowing what it is, because the buyer knows and the buyer's agent knows, but not the seller and the seller's agent, is that I would sit down with my sellers first and I would say, now, every attitude we have is a choice. So that means that we could choose to be offended, whatever it is. We could mm-hmm. choose to be insulted or embarrassed. And that's a choice that we don't want to make. So it isn't how it comes in, it's how it ends up that matters. So let's just take a look at it and do a lot of questions and and then we'll figure out what works for you.
So if given what we're talking about there is that, I'll give you an example. In this frame of reference, if you believe that somebody has on purpose taken something, either business or personal, to another level and has made a decision that they know is going to be contrary to what you believe and what you feel, and it hurts you, and, you know, the spiritual thing is to just turn the other cheek and let it go and let it be and just kind of be there and with it and all that sort of thing. But on the other hand, it's very hard to do from a deep down in your gut feeling, because you know that somebody's either taken advantage of you or they've hurt you in a way, and understanding that you've left yourself open to it, I understand. But they've taken the opportunity to walk right in there and stamp all of your heart. And so now at this point, you're supposed to turn around and say, gee whiz, that's okay? Or are you allowed to then at that point say, you know, I understand who you are and why you did what you did, and you're no longer involved in my universe, and walk away? How do you handle stuff like that?
Well, first of all, we may not understand. One of my principles is I understand very little of what I see. And that really helps me a lot in life. Because as I look out there and see people doing certain things that make no sense to me at all, there are layers and layers and layers underneath that person and their experiences, their beliefs, their values that we have no clue about. So someone will go off and do something half-cocked, and for me to say I understand, there may be times I think I do, but most of the time I really don't. So one of the things that I work on that I'd like to share with you, Kevin, and others is, number one, is choosing whether I'm going to let this really go to my deep core. Because I like to say, as I share with people in my classes, is pick your issues. My friend Rosita Perez, a national speaker that I adore, who's retired from speaking, that I've met through the National Speakers Association always said, big stuff you're born, big stuff you die, everything in between, little stuff. And so, first of all, I'm going to make that choice if I'm going to do that. And then secondly, what I want to do is really look at, okay, why is this an issue for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it upsets me or if it upsets you, that's who the issue belongs to. A lot of times the people that may upset us, they're not upset at all. They're just out there living their lives. They're not upset at all.
Which, by the way, since they directly impacted you and know that they were going to, that makes it even worse.
Well, and I'm going to choose not to look at it like that. It's all a choice, positive choice. Talk
Absolutely.
Radio. So what I'm going to do is say, okay, first of all, do I want to engage in this issue? And I really stop. See, it's like a timeout. The Sonics, they really do need a timeout. We love
now,
them,
more
but
than
they
ever.
Need a timeout. So they need a timeout. Then, and I need a timeout too. So I'm going to take a timeout, and I'm going to say, even in a flash, am I going to let this take this in? Because when I take this in, the person it affects more than anybody is me.
Mm-hmm.
And so do I want to give my energy to this? Do I really? And if
yes.
I do, and there's times I do, then I've got to take a look at, okay, why? What is beneath my layers? And why is this an issue for me? And when I can get to the core of that, and the only way I know to do that is by asking myself questions. Why does this bother me? Okay, I get the answer to that. And then, well, why does that bother me? And then I get the answer to that. And it's so like working backwards. And a lot of times it does come back to lack of forgiveness for ourselves or somebody else.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because the whole theory of forgiveness is very hard to come up with when somebody, and that's, I suppose, what we are all aspiring to,
mm-hmm.
because our first reaction is we'd like to punch somebody in the nose when we are offended or when we are hurt or when somebody does something that is totally and clearly contrary to what we believe is how we would like to be treated.
Right.
Now, granted, that's a choice. And the idea is to legitimately and be able to forgive somebody without malice or without changing any your response to them at all. And I'm not sure that I'm good enough to be able to do that all the time.
Well, you know, that's a part of, I think, why we're here. We're learning all of this as we go. And, you know, they always say life, there's no dress rehearsal. And so these are things that I think that come into our life sometimes that we're really making choices about what we're learning. And I've had my share, too. I've had someone in our family that has been a real challenge for me. And I can't always, and I said the word can't, where I can erase that and replace it with can. I find it sometimes hard to step back and to really say, okay, can I forgive and let go? So, you know, we're all on this journey. And what I'm observing is, for myself, and also I see it in others, I believe, is that it chews us up the most. And once we really let go, we can come to a more perfect state of being and state of health. To me, unconditional love is when there are no resentments, there's no harboring of anything, no matter what was done, so that we've really, on that imprint of our subconscious, really let go. And that's where I like to say a lot of times, which can mean different things to different people, let go, let God. You know, with my daughter that I've talked about on the show before, with the challenges that she's had through having a brain injury, there are times that, you know, I've been very frustrated or really worried or all of that. And so I've got to reframe that. I love the phrase, reframe that thought. And to me, that's take the paintbrush and paint it a different way. So instead of being worried, I have concern. And instead of harboring resentment, which chews me up, I'm going to release that. And I really have for the driver of that car. It's gone. I don't even think about it. I haven't said that as far as a driver in, oh, my God, 10 years probably until this instant. It's just letting go and living in what can we do now. And I think a part of that, too, is that we get soaked up and allow ourselves to just paint the issue all over us. And action is the way of healing for me. You got to take action.
So can you take it to the, for instance, if you, there was somebody, it happened down in South King County, day before yesterday, a 15-year-old boy was struck and killed by a car,
yeah,
a drunk driver.
So horrible.
So now, am I correct in saying that true forgiveness would be for the family to not only forgive the driver, but to seek treatment for his alcoholism, but not to seek retribution? Is that forgiveness?
Forgiveness, first of all, there are phases, just like death. There's anger, and it's normal because we are humans in this you know, body of this human form. And there are different steps. There's anger, frustration, fear, great sorrow, denial that it even happens.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, for some people, it can happen, you know, in a month or a week. For some people, it'll be years and years that they process through these. It is important that each person goes through those steps.
Mm-hmm.
And a child can do that through the loss of a pet, for example.
Sure.
And one of the greatest losses in on our planet, I'm sure, is when a parent would lose a child. There is no greater loss and as humans. And so as that happens, there will be natural steps that those parents will go through. And also, you know, we talked about last week the fact that I've died twice and come back, and I have a little different perspective because I can share with those parents their son is in a total state of joy, no pain. And in future shows, we'll talk about that a little bit. So it'll be up to those parents, their beliefs, how they move through those steps. And the greatest gift of all will be in the end when they release it and do forgive and know their son is in a beautiful place and cherish the memories of him living and move on. And that I say that on the show knowing that, that it takes a lot of work, a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear people interviewed on television that will say, we will never forgive this person, in the end, they're the ones that are going to suffer in the end. So it, you'll see people that say, we will work through life to look at the good things and look at his memory in a good way, and hopefully someday we can forgive the person. And so that's the person that's got the hope.
Mm-hmm.
Really is true. Really
and,
is true.
But that is a...
It's hard.
Yes.
It's very hard. It's a big test. It's a big test. Knowing that their son is in a beautiful place, to me, is really helps out a whole bunch.
But it doesn't negate now. They can accept the grief and the fact that, that their son is no longer with them and is in a beautiful place. But... Forgiving,
oh, it's still great pain. They're going to go through all that pain.
Forgiving the guy who put their son there is the big problem. It's just like forgiving
it's
the person.
It's a challenge. It's an opportunity, really.
Yes. The,
you said problem. We'll take that to challenge an opportunity, but it won't be done probably in an instant. Some people are in a state that they can, and others it's going to take a long time. It gives me great joy to introduce to all of our listeners Darlene Royce with Coldwell Banker. Darlene, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you, Barb?
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice.
Yes, we had so much fun.
Didn't we? Tell everybody what we did together last Thursday and Friday.
Well, it was a class on staging, but I hesitate to even call it a class on staging because it's also a class on life and lessons in life and sharing those lessons with other people. So to just call it a staging class really doesn't do you credit.
Thank you so much, because we do weave that in, don't we?
Yes, yes. It just is, it's how to handle clients in a positive way that makes everybody feel comfortable with staging also. And so we actually got to do an application of staging a home, which was an incredible thing.
We did. It was so wonderful. And I want to interview you and just... As you are such a precious lady to me, just being in the moment, and you, it's just a joy to be able to talk with you. And
thank
I want
you.
To give your welcome. It's my joy. And I want to give our listeners, with your permission, my website and toll-free number. And later we're going to give them yours. And so right now, those of you listening, my toll-free number is 800-392-7161, 800-392-7161. And the website where you will also see Darlene Royce featured is stagedhomes.com. And that's S-T-A-G-E-D, staged, H-O-M-E-S, homes.com. And very soon we're going to start to feature homes that are staged that are for sale in addition to our graduates. And Darlene is an accredited staging professional, and that's why I have her on the show for many reasons. And so Darlene's listings you will be able to see really soon on stagedhomes.com. So Darlene, how long have you been in the real estate profession?
4 years.
4 years. May I ask what career or what role you played before real estate?
I was a flight attendant prior to real estate, and as I was a flight attendant, I also started investing in homes, purchasing them, homes that were not so loved, fixing them up, and then reselling them myself.
Good girl. I love it. I love it. Now, you're with Coldwell Banker.
Yes.
And have you been with them the 4 years?
Yes.
And your office is in downtown Bellevue.
That's correct, on Bellevue Way.
Wonderful. And I have a lot of friends there, and you're with a great group. And we're very blessed in the Northwest to have many wonderful companies, and yours is one of them. And so it's just a joy, again, to have you here. And I want to ask you, how has staging your listings made a difference for you and your clients?
I guess I could start out with what seems to be a little bit of my specialty, and that is getting listings that fail to sell with another realtor for one reason or another, and you and I both know what that is, that it has to do with staging and preparing the home to come on the market. In one particular neighborhood, there was a home that just had not sold. It had not sold. So they called me because they had heard of me. I came in and said, well, you know, let's bring in some fresh towels, let's freshen things up, fresh flowers, I can bring in a few accessories. And that very first home that had been on the market for over 100 days that did not sell, the very first day that I had the listing after preparing it to sell, we had 3 offers on it the very first day, and they were all full price offers.
Oh my gosh, I love this. So after it was on 100 days, and it was the other realtor or realtors had not prepared it or staged it.
No.
You came in and then offered your services, and you are an accredited staging professional, which is the designation that you have earned by attending my course. And so you had 3 offers?
3 offers the very first day. One of the offers, the successful offer, was from a party who had seen it before, was not interested in purchasing it, came back the second time, saw it, and said, oh my, we know we're going to have to pay full price. This house is not going to last. We can't even believe it's the same house.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. And did you make any changes outside?
Yes, I did. Unfortunately, in the Northwest, everything grows like weeds. And so in homes that are maybe 17 years old or 15 years old, people have a tendency to live in them for a while, and they forget what the outside of the home looks like because they drive by it every day and they see it all the time. They don't realize that the rhododendrons are now 3/4 of the way up, covering their windows and creating light not to flow into the home. So one of the things that I do is I have a consultation with them as we walk around the outside of the home and discuss some plants or different suggestions, fresh bark, pressure washing, just things to freshen up a home. So if we've got light situations where plants are in the way, I have a team of landscapers that will come and freshen up and take out some of the overgrown things. Because if you can't see it, you can't sell it.
Well, where did you pick that up from?
From you, Barb.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, it's true. We can't sell it if we can't see it. And that saying, as I so appreciate you bringing that up, that when that came to me, there was a property that I had listed in Bellevue many years ago, and it was so overgrown, and they hadn't sold it for 6 months. And so I had them get their saws, and as you have done, just stood and directed, because we're like the Hollywood director, and the set is really the house, and the actors are the sellers and the producers too. And then the audience coming through is the buyers, and those other critics are the real estate agents. So with your great directing, as I'm thinking of this house, when I first came up with that saying, that was probably in the 70s, but it's as pertinent, if not more, now today. And I took these people across the street, and we looked back, and I said, I can't see your house. And then all of a sudden it just came out of my mouth. I can't sell it if I can't see it. And so I'm really, really honored to have you on the show and to hear that you are doing what works. What works. Tell everybody about the listing that you showed me on paper, which I think was a different house that had a big tree in front of it. Actually, it was a big, like, maple or something, and tell us about that house, the whole story.
That house was directly across the street from the last house that I told you about, and those people found out about the other house's 3 offers, and so when their listing expired, they called me. So I moved my staging material directly across the street from one house to the next house, but what was going on with that house is there was a huge native maple that was growing out in front of the home. It was actually buckling the concrete driveway.
The roots were coming up.
Yes, the roots were coming up, creating a hazard. And it had little black, they looked like little caterpillars that were part of the growth of the tree that were dropping down onto the sidewalk, just making a mess throughout the entire neighborhood. So it looked kind of scary. It almost looked like a picture out of Halloween.
Uh-oh.
And so I said, you know, this tree has got to go. And I do love trees, but in the appropriate spots.
Right. We love trees. And sometimes it sounds like that tree was so old with the roots coming up that its days may have been numbered. And then, you know, the wood hopefully will be recycled and used for other things. Because I know you love trees, and so do I. And in this case, that tree, I agree with you. When I saw the picture, it was time for it to go to sleep and go bye-bye.
And neighbors in the neighborhood actually came and said, thank you, thank you so much. You know, because the leaves were blowing into our yards, and it was just making a mess of the whole neighborhood. So when it happened, so that's how word has spread, is, you know, one person tells another person, and then the neighbors see, and they see what you've done, and it just is a chain reaction.
And that's the best. It's just like a good restaurant. We go to a restaurant, and what we want to do is tell everybody, oh, my gosh, have you tried this restaurant? And, of course, if it's not good, then we tell everybody, don't ever go there. And what I think sometimes certain real estate professionals forget that. And I really am proud of you carrying out the detailed service that we talk about, because when I saw your visuals, your presentation book that you have, you're really walking people through the process. And so if they do work, hopefully, with a realtor that does a good job, they're going to tell people that they have. And if they worked with somebody that wasn't good, they're going to tell them too. And so that old approach of slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, get in there really quick, get out with the dotted name on the line. As you know, I talk about in the class, none of us want to be treated like that with our attorney or our accountant or a doctor. And so, Darlene, the service that I see you giving, I'm just very, very proud of what you're doing to serve your clients, and so the good word spreads.
Well, thank you. A lot of it also has to do with the tapes that you provide when we take the classes. That reinforces. I give those to my clients prior to me walking through their home. I have them watch the tape that you provide that gives them suggestions on how to prepare their home. Then after they're finished watching it, they do what they need to do. I come through, do a checklist, and then anything that I tell them, it seems like they believe somebody who has done something on tape. It just legitimizes what I have to say and reinforces it. Then when I meet with them, and if there are certain things that they may have forgotten or that I happen to notice, then when I tell them or ask them if they could please do that before we bring it on the market, it seems like they're a lot more cooperative. It's kind of just a reinforcement of what I would naturally tell them in the first place.
That's great, dear heart. We're like a team. And so I'm on the videos, and there are two of them so that listeners know. One of them is called How to Sell Your Home for Top Dollar. And that one's about, as Darlene knows, about 25 minutes long. And about a third of that, I talk about why staging's important so you can get top dollar, but it doesn't show people what to do. Then the second tape is also what Darlene's talking about, that's called How to Prepare Your Home for So It Sells for Top Dollar. And that one is an hour long. And I know, Darlene, you and I and Kevin also, we don't have time to watch 6 hours of television a day because we're out there doing what we're doing. But they say the average American has it on, even if it's in the background, 6 hours a day. And they don't make money watching that. Not traditionally, not at all.
Nope.
Have you made any money watching TV? Probably not.
Not yet.
Not yet. So,
although I'm thinking about charging my kids rent.
Oh, there you go. See? So as you watch the video of how to prepare your home for sale so it sells for top dollar, then an hour is not too long for that. And so, Darlene, that's really great because you are doing the work and then I back you up like third party.
It's just a 1-2. It reinforces everything. And I always suggest to people that they watch it right before they go to bed. If they put it in while they're sitting in their bed, the things that you say, I feel like they're subliminal messages. They'll just be repeated.
Good.
Remember, the way we live in a home isn't the way we sell a home.
Good.
I feel like when they're listening to that right before they doze off, that it really sticks with them.
Awesome. I'm thrilled to hear that. It's so true. The way you live in your home, and that's great, and then the way we market and sell the house, because what we talk about, Darlene and myself, is that your home, you're going to take with you. Because, Kevin, isn't your home where your heart is?
Yes.
And you're going to take your heart and your home with you.
Yes.
So your next place is going to be your home. And so as you do that, you're leaving this, and it's becoming a house, and the house becomes a product, and now the public's going to come through, and we have other products we're going to compete with. It is my joy to reintroduce Darlene Royce with Coldwell Banker in downtown Bellevue. And Darlene has attended my course, which is the Accredited Staging Professional class. It's a two-day class. She's come two different times, and we've taken the class to another level because, as she said, those of you that were with us before the break, we go in and stage someone's home that's on the market. So Darlene and I and 30, let's see, we had, we were right about 46 people.
It was a lot.
46 people ascended this house, Kevin. You've got to come sometime, Kevin. It's so wonderful. And we ascended that house about 2 o'clock, and by 4:30, that whole house was totally redone. Because, see, what we do is I break everybody into teams, and then each team stages a different room, and there are rules to the game and how we do it, and so far, everyone loves what we do. It's not like Trading Spaces where we put purple hula skirts on the ceiling. It's like you hired a designer to come in to redo your house without investing any money. And so we take what people have, don't we, darling? We use what they have.
A lot. Well, first of all, you have to take out the declutter.
Right.
Then rearrange what is
right.
left.
And in a future show, I'm going to go through those steps, everyone, how you can do that at home to get a brand new look without a lot of money or even no money. Because when we do the class, we don't take anything in but a little raffia and a little rope, because we end up tying things back sometimes. Raffia rope.
Or you have to tie the homeowner up as a kid.
Well, bless their hearts.
They can't be there.
Yes, we have them leave. It's too traumatic.
Did you give them a sedative when
no,
they come back?
When they come back, they scream and yell and love it and cry because they go to their knees sometimes. See, the week before, I was doing a class in Seattle, 1 month east side, 1 month west side. Those listening that want to take the class, I want to thank Darlene for her good words about the course. You can go to stagechums.com, and the course schedule is on. And you can be a realtor or a designer or someone wanting to start a staging business, or the public can do that too. And they'll meet a lot of wonderful realtors there. You had a question.
Well, I want to do another plug for that, because I know that in this state there are people taking their real estate license every day or every time it comes up.
Right.
And we have a lot of people that, because they're drawn to the fact
mm-hmm.
that, let me do the math here. You sell a $350,000 home and you make 3.5%, that ain't chump change. And you can make some good money.
You know, how
can even if it's not even that much.
I do want to get to the question you have, Kevin, to ask Darlene and myself. I will share that Helga and I, my real estate partner, as I said this in class last week, we would always explain to people that, let's say the commission were $30,000. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as an agent, I'm not receiving the $30,000.
No.
So half of it goes to the selling company, which would be $15,000 in this case. We're only doing an example. Half of it would go to the listing company, which would be $15,000. Now, that $15,000 is then split between the agent and the company. And usually at the beginning of the year, that would be 50-50. So that would mean that Helga and I received $7,500 out of the $30,000. $7,500 went to the company we were with.
Right.
Then Helga and I, in our case, split the $7,500. So out of the $30,000, I individually received a little over $3,000. So when you take the 30, which sounds so large, and you break it down, and yet it's the agent, like Darlene, that's doing the work.
Well, but there's still a lot of people are taking that test because of the lure of big money.
Right. Well,
but what they're not doing, well,
part of that too, sweetie, I agree with you, is that with the employment rate being so high, people that have been trapped maybe in a corporate mm-hmm. situation can say, you know what, I'm going to do something for me. I'm going to open up my own, I'm going to be an independent contractor. And so mm-hmm. they'll become an agent, as Darlene is and as I am, although I'm not selling right now, or they'll open a staging business.
But the point I'm trying to get to is that if somebody goes to all the trouble, time, and effort.
Yeah, because it takes money.
To go to real estate school.
Right.
And they don't come and take your course, they are only halfway there. Wouldn't you agree, Darlene?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you need to be in a position where you can help the buyer or the seller, in this case the seller, put the best face on their house so that they can get it done. And that's part of being a professional. So they need to take your course.
Well, there are many that would say that is true, and I feel very blessed to meet people like Darlene. And the state agrees because they've given it 15 clock hours in the state of Washington, the two-day class. So the first day, we're in the classroom, aren't we, Darlene?
Yes.
And we have a lot of information that day, don't we?
That's why I've actually, I hate to admit it, I've taken the course 3 years in a row.
And I'm proud of you.
There's so much information, and so much of it is new, and it's such great information that to process it and hold it and keep it, I just keep going back because I think that I'm going to learn something new every single year.
And you do, don't you?
I do, absolutely.
Well, to me, I just bow before you because that's genius to me, and I don't say that lightly when I use the word. We are all geniuses. However, a lot of people don't use their genius, and it's like going to a movie that you've seen, and you go the second time, you say, well, I don't remember that, or gee, I picked up this time. Kevin, haven't you ever done that?
Yeah.
And then the thing is, though, that the movie stays the same where my movie changes, because the more I keep learning, the more I add to the class. So, Darlene, I hope you will keep coming back and back.
I will, because it's made such a difference in my career.
Awesome,
so this
girl.
This is just something that makes such a giant difference and something that I so wholeheartedly believe in that I'm just going to keep going for as long as you keep giving them.
Well, you and I are doing this together. And I want, before, Kevin has a question, because it's an important one, too. Before that, though, and, you know, when my daughter had her injury, the only word that would reach her was sweetie. So I have stuck with that. So I call most people sweetie. And so, sweetie, I want you to share, Darlene, your phone number, the best phone number for people to get a hold of you.
Thank you so much. It's area code 206-200-2336.
And I'm going to repeat that because repetition is the mother of learning. So it's the good old area code 206. That's a piece of cake. We all got that. That means cell phone. Then 200, so it's 200. That's
yes.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part's really easy because it's 23.
36.
36, which is how old I am, 36 years old. So
I thought you were 23.
No, I'm admitting I'm 36, so I'm admitting it. So anyway, everybody, do call Darlene, and you will have the best service in the world.
Thank
and you. And it is my joy. I'm just very proud of you, and that's because you understand. You know, there was a gal in the class who said her husband had heard me speak 14 years ago, and he said, oh, I'm not coming. I already heard her 14 years ago. Well, the person is, first of all, not thinking that, you know, I'm a different person. He's a different person.
Well, yeah, you were only 22 then.
Well, that's right. Look how much I've learned. And so, you know, we don't just say one idea and stick with it forever. We keep adding. And so the more we work at this together, the more we learn. So I really want to acknowledge you. And Darlene, Kevin has a question for you.
Yes.
Just a real quick question, because in my frame of reference after being around Barb for these months that we've been around, if you're a real estate agent, who my brother is, and by the way, brother, it's time to go learn how to stage a home. But if you're a real estate agent and you don't stage your home, or you don't understand how to do it to talk to the people that are you're working with, do you have people that are selling homes that don't understand and give you resistance about the value of staging a home?
Sometimes they are. I think it's just one of those things that you have to keep working with them. And once you show them the pictures of before and after, pictures that have been taken of homes that weren't staged, the same room that has been staged, they all become believers. I have never had anybody not stage. If you look through the pictures and you look through the books of the before and the afters, and you have the facts to support homes that didn't sell, that then did sell, they all become believers.
It's really, really true. And the pictures, Darlene has of houses that she's taken before and after, and then as a student, she is accessible to the Staging University, which I started 3 years ago. And we have about 1,200 pages there, Kevin, of pictures that Darlene has the permission to use in all of her work. And as we are starting to come towards the end of our show today, which it's just been such a treat to have you on, Darlene. And
thank you, Barb.
You are so welcome. I just really am proud of what you're doing in the community, and you're making a difference, truly. And you keep on selling homes and staging them as you do it. So I look forward to connecting again with you soon.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And we hope that everybody's going to be staying tuned all week long with Kevin and Positive Choice Talk Radio. What are those hours, Kevin?
We're on from noon till 3, Monday through Friday.
Noon to 3, Monday through Friday. And my show's Staging Life with Barb is from 2 to 3 every Monday. And next week I'll be doing the show from the San Francisco Bay Area. So we've been live in Seattle for 3 weeks. I'm flying back.
We're going to miss you.
I know. I'm going to miss you too. But we're going to have lots of magic through the airwaves. And as we think about the week ahead, I want to wish everybody to keep to their dreams. Start with a dream. That's your vision. And then unlock any negative thinking because it doesn't work. The courage of your convictions. And those would be what we'd call your goals. Think about the commitment you have to them, because hold yourself accountable and hold others accountable around you, and start using that word commitment. Be accountable. And then let the enthusiasm out. You know, everybody's got a pilot light. I always say, turn it up, and practice your enthusiasm. And then as you spiritualize, let go and turn it over and know that what you want, you can create, and stick with it. Never give up and get it done. Have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening.